Good morning. I'll be quick. Jason Wang with PCIG for New York City Department of Health. My co-author right now is on a CDC Ebola meeting. Actually, that's the older version, but anyway. In West Africa right now, her spirit is with us. Today we are going to talk about the topic of my presentation is when performance remains flat, what are other factors to consider? And we are going to review the data elements of the BP control measure. No relationships to disclose. We're going to talk about the study of hypertension with my team and the reason lead to the current study, and we are going to focus a little bit more on the discussion session. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in New York City, followed by cancer and others. And you know, Take Care New York, or TCNY blueprint, healthy heart is an important element there. And around this blueprint, we have this ABCS quality measures. B here stands for blood pressure control. Very important element. And we have been publishing papers, I think like 10, 15 papers every year, mostly around those measures, and hypertension has been, BP control being a very important one. Let me go through some of that. We studied the quality measures performance before and after using EHR, and you can see the paper version basically flat for BP control. And after using EHR, it had like an upward trend at the beginning. And then we look at the early trend in practice post EHR adoption. And we found that BP measure continued to improve over time at the early stage. This is all JAMA paper is talking about financial incentives. Impact on the control measures, especially BP control, and we found it's very significant. And this is another paper, we look at the impact of the dashboard on BP control, and we found it has a significant impact for the low performers, but not much for the high one. And we studied the technical assistant impact on quality measure improvement, and at the early stage, it does have significant impact. And we looked at the PCMH impact on practice performance. We found over time, actually, the PCMH cohort versus the non-PCMH cohort kind of converged on the BP measure. And we compared multiple incentive programs, meaningful use, PCMH, and EHARP, that is the financial incentive program we had. And we found that it's basically not much for BP control, and it's getting flat over time. Our current study is about this. The recent question there is, when the rate remains flat, what about numerators, denominators, and some other things? And we look at a cohort of small practice providers for 4 years, and we want to see this, the movement of the different data elements. This is the definition of the BP control measure. Basically, the denominator is all of the hypertension patients 18 and above. The numerator is the number of the patient among the denominator patients who got the control, the BP reading below 140 and 90. And the providers, the small practice PCPs, have data for all 4 years from 2010 to 2013. It's 13 kind of threshold of denominator. And they are basically small practice single site providers. We are going to compare the rate, the numerator, the denominator, and the overall number of patients over time. If you look at this graph, the solid line here is the rate. It's very flat over time. And the red line is the total number of patients, can be increased over time. And so in the green line of the denominator and the blue line is the numerator. You know, it can also improve over time. In numbers, you can see the BP quality measure, BP control rate. It's basically from like 67 something to 68 something. Denominator, numerator, and the total patient significantly increase over time. So over a 4 year span, the BP rate only like increased like 1.8%. But the total number of patients and the denominator all improve like increase about 32%, while the numerator improve a little more, like 36%. What does that mean? First of all, for the total patient, you know, on average provider level, right? So it has increased significantly, 32% over 4 years. What that means? That means like more patients in the EHR. Possible reasons might be number one, you know, you have this better capacity of the EHR units and you can deal with more patients there. Two, you might have like some newly identified patients because of better documentation. Denominator increase significantly. What that mean? That means and it's kind of proportionally the same as the increase of total patient. Possible reasons, again, better capacity because of EHR use. Possible newly identified patient because of better documentation. So patient in the visiting your practice not necessarily put in the document in the system yet, or because of you know, age or whatever criteria not fitting, so they're not showing there. And the newly developed cases, there could be patients who were not tested before, but now they become. So, but anyway, because the denominator increased significantly, that means more patients with hypertension could get treated. So it's something positive. Numerator increased significantly, and it's even proportionally a little more than the denominator. Possible reasons, our provider is still doing a good job with the BP control. And the BP control is sustainable at a certain level. So, but anyway, even the reach is kind of flat. Because the numerator increased significantly, that means more patients with hypertension actually got controlled. That's another positive. BP control rate remain flat, that we know. And the sinusoidal ceiling effect there, it's like a very hard to get past like 90%. You know, most practices stop at 80 something as good practice, but on average it's around like 70. What are the possible reasons for BP control rate flat? Number one, there could be more severe BP conditions. You might have patients with like a 180. You bring it down to 150, still only remain in the denominator, not reflecting the numerator. And you might have patients with more serious comorbidities that, you know, they treat those comorbidities for now and not necessarily focusing on hypertension. Medication adherence, you know, can be a big issue, and the language, cultural, and patient preference might be important there to deter with this control. And the new patient into the EHR, that means like because BP control takes time, you know, it's hard to instantly reflecting the numerator and other possible factors. I need people's input on this. Implications of this study, well, right now we are shifting to this so-called value-based health system, like PCMH, like New York State, we have a DSRIP project. The program basically, you know, focusing on those things. You need to understand the quality of care, and you need to know, you know, the reasons, the factors behind all this movement. You cannot simply compare it. And the consideration to improve BP control, of course, it takes time to increase the BP control rate. The EHR alone will not necessarily serve to help with the increase of BP control. And after you need to treat patients, you might face more difficult patients like with high speed hypertension or other things. And you might have a new, with the improved EHR functionality, you might have all kind of new found patient, all real new the admitted patient, but you know, all those things are going to increase the number of the denominator, but not necessarily reflecting the numerator from now. And seasonality might be a big issue. You know, it's a very important thing for us to make this another study we just submitted. Within a year and multiple years, you can see the temperature and the BP control rate are highly correlated. So one thing there is you cannot simply compare a read in summer with a read in the winter. You know, there's a high seasonality there. That's another study ongoing review. We can interview the providers. Actually, 10 minutes before I came over here, I put up this one on the border section in the exhibition hall. So if you have questions about the major things there in the middle section, you can see like the most common barriers for BP control. According to providers, we think medication adherence, number one issue, and healthy food, exercise, the medication cost are also important. And most common factors for patient engagement of BP control, like education level, comorbidities, among other things. And that's another study we have right now ongoing, is basically trying to look at the movement between the stages. Like if you have a stage one, a stage two patient there, and the next year, if you be able to bring down this patient to like a stage one, even in the current definition of the BP control is not reflecting the rate, but it's still very positive. And maybe it deserves to create a new rate to reflect that. So we're studying, Laura and others looking at this with me. And of course, we are going to figure out the different kinds of new patient groups. Like the newly admitted patient with the CPT codes everything, and we want to identify the newly identified patient, and also want to figure out the newly developed cases, so you know we can know all the different components of the BP rate elements, and of course we are going to do more kind of better data analysis with that. And this is Aurora and myself. Feel free to contact us, ask questions, and we have 15 minutes for to discuss further. Thank you so much.
Thank you again to our presenters. Please help me to thank them one more time, please. Thank you. And so they're all eager to take questions. We're here for another 15 or so minutes, and I'm sure if we go a little over, they'll be willing to talk to you one-on-one. The next session comes in here at noon, I think. But if you have any questions, please raise your hands and let's go.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for the presenter talking about children. Preliminary glance to see if it's worth pursuing with more time and money and energy.
When we did look at the retweets before we made the decision to cut them out as part of the data cleaning process, and most of the retweets were things like sharing news items. And what we were wanting to know is do people express their personal experience on Twitter? News items, for example, about violence and linking violence to mental illness were not about the specific user, the specific Twitterer, if you will, and that person's experience. So that's one of the reasons we made that decision, although I could see in another setting of different research questions that it would be perfectly fine to leave those.
I have a question about the same presentation. So I'm an novice Twitterer, and something that I've noticed about tweets is that oftentimes much of the meaning of the tweet comes following the hashtag. So you guys didn't that you use catch that? So if someone said, today I feel said hashtag depressed, is that something that you would talk?
Yes, it is. So the beauty of Notice Sub is that it will use the word as a keyword, meaning it just appears someone says I'm feeling depressed, or it will also tag the hashtag. And the way I can show you more Notice Sub later if you'd like, it will, when you import the data, that it reads for hashtags, so it creates a separate column, it creates a column for the tweet itself. And so we were analyzing that column. But it does create a category for what are the links that are included and then are there hashtags that are associated with it. Mostly Notice Sub is used for network analysis, so you can try to see conversationally what's happening between people who are connected on Twitter.
I have a question from Israel here.
Who
enters the initial data into the
My voice is starting to go here. So the question is who and how enters. Each organization, each company, whether they're whether they're a regulator or they're a pharmaceutical company, they have their own systems and they're using Medra to code that information and store it. It's the individual companies that have the data, and they're just using Medra as the key code, essentially, to then submit that information to the regulators who are then analyzing that to help identify what those adverse events are for a particular product.
So is it a clerk in a pharmaceutical company who gets enters it?
Correct, yeah. So they're medical professionals, people like nurses, people with medical training of some kind that are looking through verbatim information that they're getting from either a clinical trial or from a marketed product, and then they're entering that into their own database system.
Data that was used for policy and public health. first of them